Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor's going to distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hey guys, we're back.
We're back.
Gosh.
Just so much happened.
I know. It's like every single week with this show, it just gets crazier and like more twisted and messed up.
More twisted and more, what's the word I'm looking for? More diabolical and more debaucherous.
Yes. And I totally like take this for real life. So I'm totally believing this is what's actually happening at the Vatican right now.
I agree. Even though the total opening was totally surreal. I'm sorry.
Yes.
I was jumping ahead.
No,
but like mystery character with the patch.
Oh my gosh. I know. Let's get right into it. I'm Jesse Zahner. Welcome to the Young Pope. I'm sorry, the new Pope after show. Sometimes hard to remember because it's like the same show.
The same show.
The new Pope after show. We're covering season 2, episode 6, the 6th episode, which is what his title is. And I'm here with my boy, Al G.
What
you
up,
know him
everybody?
As Al Gregg.
Back with my girl, Jesse, ready to talk Pope again.
Yeah, so we're going to do the recap. Then you have one of our most scandalous popes to talk about.
Got a special segment.
I have a little bit of news and gossip.
Nice.
And then we're going to do predictions for next
episode. Let's get it cracking.
Because I can't wait to see what happens
next
episode.
We'll play tonight.
I know. So let's start exactly with what you were saying, the opening scene with Sophia.
Yes. I mean, what is this guy's name?
Essence.
Leopold Essence.
Yes.
Yes. So this mysterious character just wanders in, sits down, starts grabbing her food. Later he leaves
so
a cockroach.
Creepy.
He has an eye patch. What the hell, man?
My thing is, like, why would you sit there? If some dude came, like, creeping over to me like that, as soon as he even got near me,
you would get up and
I'd get my shit up and walk out. Yeah, I'd just, like, throw my, oh, I'm done eating, bye. Yeah. Like, I don't know. She's not afraid of anything, I guess.
I guess she's not, but that's also the point where, like, I think, see, that's what I love about Paolo Sorrentino, because he's always messing with us. It seems so surreal. You're like, this can't be real. This
right.
has to be a dream sequence.
That's what
even
I thought
it
was.
Yeah,
yes.
That's how askew it is.
Yeah.
So
I totally thought that's what it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we learned, but later on it does get confirmed, you know, that he's there to basically deliver a message. And what does he talk about? He talks about, okay, you have to follow love, even though it'll lead to failure. We know that leads when you start following people. And then she said something else crazy too about Sophia's husband. She said, your husband is half a man or something crazy like
that.
He
said, can we call your husband a man?
What does that mean?
I don't know. So it's so weird because, like, I thought this dude was, like, giving her warning signs, but then later he leaves the cockroach in her car
right.
to keep her from talking.
Yes.
Okay, so then it got all twisted, okay, right? Because let's just talk about these bugs. Because, like,
okay.
I literally have a phobia of bugs, okay?
Centipedes,
so, like,
cockroaches.
These bugs are, like,
oh,
bothering me.
Yeah.
And I'm like the god of bugs, because if I start talking about them, they'll come for me. So I just want to get this over with really quick. But we keep talking about millipedes.
Right.
Because the millipedes keep showing up. So I'm like, what the hell does this mean?
Okay, and last week, and Jess, was it a millipede? It was a millipede on Lenny's body last week,
yes.
right? Okay.
Yes.
It was a cutout episode.
So here's the thing. I looked it up because I was like, I got to know what this means. Like, what's the significance of
right.
a millipede. So it says gamblers sometimes carry them to bring increased winnings and ward off bad luck. The lucky millipede possesses the following virtues: gambler's luck, general good luck, speed, energy, healing, improved social life, reduction in negative energy.
Wow. I mean, when you frame it like that, thank you for telling us, what it stands for. It makes sense. In perfect contrast to the cockroach, which stands for, like, toxicity.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So it's, like, crazy that they're playing with these bugs. Because now I'm, like, going back and thinking of every scene with the millipede. Uh-huh. And now the cockroaches are the new bug of this episode.
Yeah. I mean, for these people that have, like, these disgusting values and that are manipulative and, you know, lower than dirt, it seems like.
Yeah. So it's weird. So when you just said that, follow the love, okay? Because then we see later Sophia's literally following a car. I guess we'll get to that in a little bit because there's so much that happens in this episode. Mm. So then you have the intro, and the intro's different, like it is every episode.
Right.
It's a little, you can tell this time that it's much different than the previous ones. And then we cut right to Lenny breathing, and then Pope John Paul III again, like, asking this nun, who did you prefer, Pius or Francis, and would you believe in me? Like, he's so weird about just, like, his ego, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, he's like, we talked about this. He has a huge, fragile ego combined with low self-esteem.
Right.
You know, because obviously he's fishing for some type of, what do you call it when somebody gives you praise? You know what I'm looking for, that word.
Yeah, he's just looking for praise.
Yeah. Acknowledgement.
Yeah. So it's just a really short scene. That's about it. But finally, we move on to Esther. And she's in it for more than 5 minutes this episode.
Shit is getting
crazy with her.
Esther's
okay?
getting cracking.
I mean, like, okay, so I'm so proud of her because she rolls up. I mean, why am I saying I'm proud of a prostitute? Because, like, I don't know.
But we are proud of her, though.
I am proud of her because she rolls up. She's like, no more Fabiano.
Uh-huh.
I want you to pay me, and I want $15,000 per time I come.
I love that.
I know. She's like a businesswoman now.
And, you nailed it. What's the show is so good about? Just because I was like, am I not supposed to praise her? Not because I have any moral judgment or look down on somebody who's a working girl, but because of what's happened to her character.
Right.
But more important than that, we do like the fact that, you know, she seized control of her destiny.
Exactly.
So in that respect, compared to all the other sins these guys are doing, being a prostitute,
this is
to
nothing.
Me, it's like, this is the least thing you could do.
No, it's so true. That's so true that you're saying that. So the thing about it is, like, I don't know what's going on with all of the people around her trying to manipulate her. I don't know if she's had, like, an awakening, but this lady goes on to tell her, you're a saint. And it's just like that one priest that was at that, at the place where she lived. He would be like, oh, you're granted another miracle because you can become a prostitute now. And now she's like, oh, you're a prostitute, so you're a saint. So it's, like, weird because, like, they're just manipulating her. Or maybe it means something else. I don't know.
I mean, it could be, it is convenient at the time when they give these, I guess, like, compliments or whatever, like you're saying, but they can be also partially true, too. They're manipulative, but they're also recognizing this change. And I do look at look at as further steps toward her evolution.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Because she does say, like, oh, no one slept in this house in 20 years because he's always screaming all night. Whatever.
She's a healer, not a prostitute.
She
has this gift given by God.
Right. So it's just a weird scene. But I'm so proud of Esther. I'm like, man, she's like a bad.
Thank goodness. Yeah.
She's a badass.
She's control. She's control of her destiny. And we love Esther. We want the best.
I do. I love Esther. Yeah. So we see that. That was really great. And then it moves on to Sophia's husband. And finally, we get to the bottom of that room and what they're doing in there.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I don't know if we mentioned it last episode, but last episode we saw him snorting cocaine.
Okay.
But this time you see a girl dancing, and I'm like, oh, it must be like a stripper or something, because you noticed it's in that room that they were having
the
little conversation in. Yeah. And then you see four lines of coke on the table,
mm-hmm.
and then there's like three dudes passed out.
I love that. She's like the only one awake, man.
Yeah. And she's just like dancing and like whatever.
She's doing her sultry thing.
Yeah.
And then, like, you know, they're all passed out. She's like, these clowns, let me just get my money and bounce.
Yeah. So she does. And like, just like the guy said, follow the love. Well, Sophia's not really following the love. She's following the car that this girl goes
in. And FYI, this show intentionally conflates love and lust all the time. Because I guess that's what the characters do. They're conflating love with like these illicit lusts, really.
Right.
So
now my question is, like, what is that place? Is that in the house or is that a different location? separate from Sophia's house.
Yeah, it has to be separate, I assume, because we keep going there all the time.
Yeah, how would she not know that that they're all there? And, like, I don't know. How would she not know this person came in the house?
Yeah, so I agree with you. So they can't be at her house. But even more so, which I know you're going to get to later, but, I mean, I've always had a problem with how much she supposedly knows and doesn't know. She has to know a little bit more about her husband. Like, she knows, a woman knows, especially the way she knows her husband inside and out. You've got to know things about your husband, regardless whether you've seen the infidelity in front of you. That's just my thing, which went back to the same thing of, like, okay, why is she acting surprised? Why is one minute she seemed to be loyal to Voiello? You know, why wouldn't she? Of course she knows what her husband's doing, but, you know, they're playing that whole naive side, too.
Yeah, so that's the thing. Like, she's so smart, you're like, there's no way she didn't know this.
Yeah.
But I really feel like she is totally in the dark, and now just finding out, and she's like, oh, my God. And I actually feel kind of bad for her. But I'm like, girl, you are, like, such a badass. Like, just move on. Like, this guy's, one, he's totally creepy.
If she's able to dismiss our boy who was at the last Pope as a scapegoat, you know, and just kind of, like, brush it off her shoulders. That's the only reason why I find it hard to, like, feel sympathetic for Sophia.
Oh, you do?
Because she's so callous in other ways. And, you know.
No, you're right about that.
Yeah.
But I do feel bad for her. Like, this is the first time that some of these characters... This episode, literally, is, like, one of the first times some of these characters are showing, like, emotion.
Vulnerability, yeah.
Yeah, like, her and Voiello.
True.
So I actually feel bad for her. I don't know why, but I do, because I don't like her husband.
Right.
And I don't like Spoletta either, so...
And, again, I mean, this is one of the reasons why I loved Sophia's character is because while... Yes, any woman would be hurt by finding out their husband's cheating on them, of course. And nobody wants to be put in that position. But I feel like the way they set up her character, even from last season, she was committing all of this, like, emotional adultery from, like, with Lenny to whoever she deemed it necessary.
You're right. Yeah.
So all this, you know, emotional infidelity is what we call it today. And so now, like, oh, she's so, like, shocked and awe that her husband's cheating on her. She's part of, like, the whole ruthless mafia.
But the thing is, it's not just, like, cheating. First off, this is, like, an underage girl we find out.
Oh, true.
So I'm like, that's messed up.
Yeah, and all three of them.
Yeah, and, like, they're down there doing drugs and whatever else. So it's just, like, a lot. But I think she knew about the drug thing.
Probably.
I think she did.
That's,
because,
like, the least of the worries in the show.
Right,
that's what
he was
I mean.
Doing
that's
that
so
at
crazy.
Home. I know. So I don't know. So I get where you're saying, like, she committed all these other, like, emotional infidelities.
Yeah.
But I still feel bad for her.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I just
She probably, in her mind, she drew the line at being manipulative and sexual emotionally.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
She probably never expected that he would cross the line. And it's like, when you got a wife like that, and when they're showing what they do, it's like, who would think you'd need to cheat? But that's obviously, cheating has nothing to do with, like, how well you're satisfied at home sometimes.
Yeah. So she needs to just move on. But she's like,
Tell us as a married woman. Talk to us.
No, I mean, she's like this badass. So I'm just like, dude, like, move on or like out these guys.
Okay.
You know, but she can't because, like, she's getting threatened.
Right.
Now the cockroach shows up in her car and she's like scared to talk. But now we know that her and Voiello are, like, tight, right?
Yes. Again, and we were going back to that last week. Like, how tight are they? And it made me question immediately because she's got this good relationship with the new Pope, with John. She's got his, you know, his phone number. They have these, like, secret rendezvous. She could immediately just go to him. But I'm guessing she went to Voiello probably because, well, it wasn't Voiello who dispatched her unless that guy, Essence?
Yeah.
Who does he work for? Does he work for Voiello? Or does he work for her husband Spoletta and them?
Yeah, so I'm so confused by that, too. I'm so glad you brought that up because first I thought he was against her husband because he kept talking shit on her husband.
Right.
But then he planted the cockroach, so I'm like, who is he siding with, though? Is it Spoletta?
He has to be siding for Spoletta. He's protecting those guys,
because he's a priest, right? Or he was just dressed in a priest outfit.
Yeah. But who knows who this guy is?
He's protecting those guys for some reason. We'll probably find out, but we don't know yet.
Right.
So after all that, she finds all that out. There's, like, all these little tiny interactions with the Pope and Spoletta, the Pope and Sophia, or the Pope and Voiello, and, like, the Pope and Spoletta. What did you think of their little conversation? Because I was just like, come on.
That was the one time, and I'm curious what the audience thinks, if you guys tell us in the comments. And obviously, that was the one time it didn't ring true for me that the Pope was going to side with this new squad, you know, of Spoletto and, you know, Bauer and Thomas Albrecht and whatever, these new power brokers over Vuello. Vuello to me always seemed like, you know, like that rock of power that can't be moved. And I really didn't think it was, if Vuello's capable of like killing somebody, I really didn't think all that scandal that that Pope Branix was worried about, I really didn't think that deemed necessary for him to put Vuello out. And matter of fact, I know that's a fatal error.
Right.
But anyway.
Same, yeah.
But yeah, it didn't, I don't know, it just didn't ring true to me that the Pope would actually make that decision knowing Vuello's reputation. But, you know, maybe.
Yeah, so here's what happens. I mean, here's what I'm thinking. Tell me what you think here. Because so he has this conversation with Spalletta, and Spalletta's like, listen, I can explain all of it because we're just trying to make this guy. His name's like, it's like, I can spell it, but
Guido
I can't say.
Guido Guccharini
or something.
The Minister of Finance for Italy.
Yes. So they're like, we need to make him happy because he can get the government not to make us pay all these taxes and everything else.
Yeah, I'm just there to satisfy him. I'm not there, you know, for my own pleasure.
But he goes on to basically say, like what we're doing is not nearly as bad as what Vuello's doing. So you need to get rid of Vuello.
Right.
My thing is, like, what Pope John Paul III keeps saying is that I'm going to, like, get rid of all the bad stuff that's happening in the church, like all of the pedophiles and everything. We're going to crack down on that. But for some reason, he believes Spalletta and lets it go.
And honestly, I think...
And is it because he knows something about him?
It's that... It's his big secret.
Yeah.
You know, we've heard him talk about the only allusions we've had to his past is that when they were showing him his photographs on the wall as a young punk rocker, he admits he was a punk and there's something in the box. And as we find out later, has something to do with, you know, going through withdrawals.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know.
Is that the only secret that Spalletta knows?
That can be. I think it's enough to make him. I think it's enough to make him nervous. That's the only reason he'll buckle, because I still don't think it's enough to like.
Is doing drugs a sin? I'm Catholic.
Yeah.
I should know. Why is it a sin?
It's you know what? It shouldn't be because here's the thing.
I don't do drugs, but I'm just wondering, like, is
it
a sin?
I've never done drugs, any legal drugs. But as somebody, I liken it to the same thing as doing alcohol in excess. You know,
but is that what it says?
Well, in the Bible, I know Jesus made wine for the wedding, but you're not supposed to be drunk and debaucherous. And they considered anything that was drugs, which I just consider another, because alcohol is a drug, but they consider that more like mystical and magical and doing something that was more, I guess, sinful. But me, I put, you know, drugs on the same level as alcohol, but you can obviously overdo both. That's just me. I don't, you know.
Because, like, would you be offended if the Pope was a drug addict?
I think everybody would be offended. I wouldn't be offended. I'd be like, what does it matter, right?
Yeah, oh, maybe because your like, judgment is impaired.
Yeah.
Maybe because your judgment is impaired. Maybe you're like doing messed up things or something.
Yeah.
But like, if that's the secret he has, like, that's nothing compared to what else is going on.
That's where the show is.
Maybe
so good.
That's why it's wrong. Maybe like it's all wrong. You can't just say like, oh, because somebody did this so bad, it doesn't matter anymore. Or something.
And you know what it is too. It goes back to that whole thing. If someone is addicted to something, or if they have a secret, they can be blackmailed. That's the only problem.
And he even brings something like that up. He says something about blackmail.
Okay.
And Spalletta does when he's talking about Vuello.
Yeah, he's like, because we would never blackmail each other.
Oh yeah. Which he keeps bringing that up. Like, I'm giving you this. What did he give him? A Bentley?
Yeah.
I'm giving you this Bentley with, I don't expect anything from you. It's like, okay.
He's just basically
when
saying,
you say that, we know what that means.
Yeah, you'd rather me, like, give you a pat on the back and, you know, then beat you with the stick. You know what I mean? So I'm trying to do this the easy way. You can do this the easy way or the hard way. Let's do this the easy way.
Right. So then the Pope goes and talks to Vuello.
Right.
And he's basically like, I think you should step down.
Right. And Vuello is obviously shocked. You know, he's been there the longest out of any Secretary of State, you know, for the Pope. And yeah, again, I can't believe it. I guess, you know, we're supposed to take out of that, because even though Vuello has been this fixture, we're supposed to take again that the new Pope, John Branix, is that scared about his secret being revealed. Because otherwise, I didn't think it was enough of a power play.
Yeah.
And then, and here's the other thing. This was barely even there, but didn't they imply that that there's some type of financial impropriety going on, like there's some type of diversion, even though they're doing this threesome with the Ministry of Finance, that they're collecting money on the sly too and tax shelters, so it's like even more crooked too.
Right.
Like if that, and I agree with Vuello, like if that came out, I think people would like be more pissed about that. What about the Pope doing drugs? But what
totally.
Do I know?
Yeah, so here's the thing about the Vuello thing. Is there more to, do you think that there is more to the reason that he's getting let go aside from just Pope Francis's death? Do you think there's more? Because Spalletta said, oh, like, what we're doing is nothing compared to what Boyle's up to.
Yeah, but, I mean, you know, the shoe's on the other foot. I mean, they're still looking at, you know, it's either got to be us or Boyle. Obviously, they know Boyle's been the biggest player in the game. But the fact that Boyle came for them, that was the problem. He came for them. He was ready to expose them. You know, it's like, they haven't exposed Boyle. And,
right.
You know, and they... And Boyle didn't exactly do it like in a tactful and like in a check kind of checkmate kind of way.
Right.
He just basically went for the juggler. And they're like, okay, now he's got to go, period. End of story. So it was either them or him.
Sad or happy Boyle is gone?
Mixed feelings. And then again, let me tell you why, Jess, because I don't want to like Boyle.
I love him, though.
They're trying to make us love him.
And especially
when we'll see when he does all the parting gifts.
Yeah.
But he has been so scandalous.
For sure.
Since last season, there was nothing that justified a lot of his manipulative and dirty, double-dealing behavior. And sometimes it was even a bit sadistic, I thought he is with people.
Yeah.
Just, he loves giving orders. He's like, that's just like a... I don't know, the way he loves it's just a terrible trait. So I don't want to feel sorry for him, and they're trying to make it seem like, well, everything was for the good of the church and the papacy. But again, that rings false with me. I'm curious what the audience thinks.
Yes, so I'm sad to see him go. However, when he leaves his last day, he does all this great stuff. I'm like, why couldn't you have done this the whole time you were there? He's like helping all the nuns out. He's being so nice. So this is just like what I said earlier, where we're actually seeing like emotion from these guys. Because now Boyle, like he turns to the pregnant nun and he says, like, what are you going to name him? Mm-hmm. You know,
and name him after me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's part of my problem, that this sudden display of vulnerability, because we've never seen one inch of that.
Never.
In
no. And so, and same with Sophia.
Yeah. And so supposedly now he's all about, you know, the games, but it lacks poetry. No, I never saw you lack poetry. I just saw you as a ruthless mofo.
Yeah.
So, but
which
yeah,
he was, and now he's doing all this good.
See, is that, I don't know. Maybe that's part of his game too. You know, that generating that goodwill when he comes back to make his power play. Whether he comes back,
I think you're
you know,
right
or not.
I think you're right.
There you go.
Yeah, because everybody's going to be on his side now, right? Because
yeah.
He gave everybody like beyond what they wanted.
Oh man, can we talk about these gifts? Okay,
yes.
So he gives. He calls her Reverend Mother, the abbess, the little person, the little woman who was dancing. He's like, how can you not know that this other woman was being sexually molested or sexually assaulted? He's like,
yeah.
Only because you have a lump in your breast, and that's the only reason why you've been distracted. So I'm going to get you to, so you can, we're going to make an appointment with the best doctor, and you can go see this oncologist. And, you know, he addresses everybody. He addresses the girl who's pregnant. He addresses the girl who's a kleptomaniac.
Yes,
I
know.
That.
I know. I totally forgot about that part. Yeah, he's sending her to, like, therapy.
Yeah, that was
and
great.
The pregnant, I love the idea of bringing the orphan. We're going to let the nuns have orphans in.
Right, right.
That's
and that's
so
going to be her secret son.
Yeah.
File her and Faisal.
Aww,
Faisal's
so happy
son.
For them. Yeah.
That's cute.
That was really cute.
Yeah, yeah.
So there was some good that came of Voyella leaving, but I'm very sad about it.
Yeah, and even like, again, how Sister Lizette called him out, like, yo, you intentionally slowed down the Wi-Fi so the word of our protest couldn't get out. To me, there's still stuff that's inexcusable, and I'm glad at least the show is not letting that aspect of him go.
Right. So that, I don't know if we'll see any more Voyella, but... We get back to Esther, and basically what happened with the lady is, like, she was like, there's more mothers in need of this. So we see Esther, like, dancing in front of, like, a bunch of dudes. The lady looks to be sitting in the background, and then Lenny shows up, too.
Right. Lenny's there in spirit, again, as usual, keeping an eye on things.
Yeah, and so she's getting ready to leave, and they're like, this is the end. Did you notice that she was dressed in, like, nice clothing now? She like looks totally different. Before, she always looked like aloof and like she kind of like
yeah,
never
now she's
was
like a
mess.
High-class call girl
now,
man.
Now she's like all dressed like professionally, like has her hair
Prada
up
down.
And she like is like, you know, making these rules and, you know,
yeah, establishing these boundaries.
Yeah.
But can we just say though, like, okay, we already knew what's his name, Atencio, the son who has a we don't know what type of what do you call it, what type of sickness he has or what he's right. afflicted with. But when they cut to the faces of all the other afflicted sons,
yeah.
it's like, I don't know, they kept going for like the Wolfman thing.
Dude,
like,
I know, I was like, is this for real, I was like, is this going to turn into like some like mystical thing? Like,
and they're trying to say something too?
Like, yeah, because like, this is so, like, the guy looks like a werewolf, yeah. right?
Sorrentino, that's what I mean. He doesn't do anything by chance. So he's effing with us again, you know. That's just part of his poetry, that how he wants to portray these characters. And maybe, you know, guys who are seen as monsters, but I don't know, maybe have a good loyal heart like a dog. I don't know.
Yeah. So basically the lady's like, oh, we're done. This is ending. We can find younger girls that will are
she
way less.
She cuts it down. She's like, you're kind of old right now. You
yeah.
didn't realize that?
They're getting bored with your routine. Even they're getting bored.
But we know that's not it, right?
Right.
We know that's not the reason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Esther's like, I need, what is his name?
Atancio?
They have like the hardest names.
Yeah.
Atancio, I think. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Atancio.
She like needs him. She's in love with him.
Where did that come from, man? Where did that come from?
I'm just like in shock. I'm like, what? Because I had no idea what she was talking about.
That's what I was saying too. And again, I'm trying to put it. Okay, this is what I think they want us to take from Esther's journey. And if you really look at it, it's really almost like a nurturing in the sense of like a Mother Mary, in the sense that she has all this warmth to give.
Yeah.
I'm guessing, you know, this loving warmth and a loving heart. And apparently we're supposed to believe that she's fallen in love with the son, but that's what a lot of this is tied up with pleasure, because the mother was alluding to, like, yeah, you discover pleasure. And obviously Esther
yeah.
didn't deny that.
Right.
And what's the word I'm looking for? People are taking something that maybe starts out with good intentions and objectifying, which is the theme that we keep coming back to.
Right. So, yeah. So she falls in love with Atanasio
okay.
is his name. I wrote it down. Yeah, I knew it was a hard one. So the weird thing that I was telling you about in the episode is like, the mother's like, only I can love him in every sense. And
yes.
I'm like, what does that mean? Cause to me, the way that she was saying it is really creepy.
Like she kind of took care of him when he was in the wheelchair. She kind of, all right, son, is this good?
For real though, like, she's creepy. So that's what
yeah.
I'm taking it
I'll
as.
I'll take that from she's taking care of her son,
but
however she deemed necessary, because she loves her son.
Okay, so is that what you thought? Or
yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Okay, because that's what I thought.
No,
too.
you're definitely
yeah.
right. The thing is, I didn't necessarily like go there in my head. I knew what they were saying.
Yeah.
But I guess the bottom line, what we're supposed to get, is a mother's love knows no bounds. Whatever she has to do.
Oh God, that's so creepy. Anyway, stop, Al. So Esther, like, doesn't like that response. You think she leaves. She comes back, and she starts strangling the lady.
She chokes her ass out.
Esther has, like, this new power. Sophia's basically becoming Esther, and Esther's becoming Sophia. Because
right?
Esther's, like, now a badass, and Sophia's, like, kind of falling apart.
Crazy.
But she goes and chokes this lady out, and she looks over, and she basically is like envisioning the Pope, and she's like, please take my hand off her throat.
Yeah.
But he doesn't.
He doesn't.
And then I'm like, oh, is this like his third miracle? Is he going to be now a saint because he's getting rid of this like bad person
and,
or something?
And when they cut back to her, and I was like, okay, it would be really ballsy if she did kill her. But when she comes back to life, I'm like, either that's some surreal dream or it's Lenny doing another miracle. I think it's Lenny doing a miracle.
Yeah.
He intervened and raised her up.
Right. And then also as Esther's leaving, Atanasio, he's like at the window, like screaming.
He's poking his head
it's
out like
so
the wolf
weird.
Man.
Yeah. He definitely looks like the wolf man.
Right. Now, is he crying? Here's the thing. Is he crying because she killed his mom? He knows his mom dead? Or is he crying because Esther's leaving?
I think he's crying because Esther's leaving.
And here's what the new Pope is so good at. It's like, it just captures everything that's going around. It's kind of like when, you know, the Pope was saying, no. It just
yeah.
kind of like captures, okay, it's the sum of all these things that are going on that are being like displayed by this character.
Yeah, I think he's sad Esther's leaving because
right.
he was upstairs like peeking over while they were talking.
Right.
I don't know if he knows his mom's choked out on the deck right now or not.
But he knows I guess what I'm saying is it adds a layer to the sad moment.
Yes, definitely. And then also we finally get this interview and what did you think of the interview?
Interview started out cool. We know that it goes left. And yeah, the only thing I could say, here's an interesting twist. We've heard the Pope say this, John Brannock say this a couple of times, God doesn't love me, God doesn't love me. And it hits me right here because I think, at least to me, it resonates to that point where I think we all have maybe kind of like this low self-esteem to a certain point
right.
where we feel unlovable. But he flipped it in the interview.
I noticed.
Yeah, but check this out. He said, God loved me more than I love myself, as if that was a turning point. But here's the other thing, Jess. If you look at it that way, maybe that's a tricky way of saying that God loves me more than I love myself. And I don't think God loves me, then I must really hate myself.
That's a good – that's what I think it's about.
Okay.
Yeah. And then we find out, I was just shocked when they were sitting and watching him and he was kind of freaking out. I was like, oh my gosh, I think he might like have a heart attack. But then Spilett is like, he's going through withdrawal. And I was like, oh no, that's what's in the box. He's doing drugs. He's an addict.
Oh my goodness. And shout out to our engineer, Jonathan, because he said that.
We
were like, what's his secret? And Jonathan, you said
he's doing heroin, actually.
Yeah, I knew what was going on.
You knew what was going on. The voice of God right here.
Third eye.
Yes, seriously. And it's so funny because the night before or whenever that was, the day before or whatever, you see Danny come in and says, do you need your box? And he's like, no, I don't need it. Oh, man.
I know, and they've been building it up so long.
Yes, so.
Question, is it me or did I really see the millipede associate with the box?
Yeah, the millipede was in the box in one episode. It came crawling out of the
box. Thank you, yeah. Okay,
yeah, so then I was like, is that the only thing that's in the box?
Following along your trope, you know, if it represents luck, maybe, I don't know, it was working for him and things were falling into place and I guess maybe the millipede isn't near the box anymore.
Yeah, it was walking out, so it's like, peace.
The millipede
dipped. You need these drugs to go back to bed. See ya. But anyways, let's change topics because that was the end of the episode. And we are going to move on now to our favorite part of the episode, which is Al's Most Scandalous Pope segment.
Why do I get to be the most scandalous pope? Am I like the most scandalous guy, most scandalous host?
Totally, yeah,
I'll take
course.
That on. That's me. I'll rock with that. You know, I'm just clowning.
Yes.
The most scandalous pope this week, guys. It goes even deeper, okay? Have you guys heard of the Medici family? Okay, well, one of the members of that family was actually a pope, and his name became Pope Leo II. A member of Italy's powerful Medici family, Pope Leo II had a taste for finer things in life. We know his family was super rich. He funded some of the Renaissance's most famous artwork, but his big spending drove the church's finance into debt. To help balance the books, he relied heavily on, get this, the sale of indulgences. So he was the one, I guess, who put that back on the map as far as, like, you can sell forgiveness indulgences for maybe some of your relatives who've died and maybe they've been sitting in purgatory. You make the right donation, you get an indulgence. So, you know, very, very interesting. So it's interesting. I always find it interesting the way the Catholic Church works. And I think to a degree, all religions have a bit of, you know, anytime men are in there, it's going to be corruption. But I just find that, I don't know, with the Medici family, it's particularly revealing.
Oh, my gosh. Maybe that's how maybe that's how the church back in the day, like, kept their finances up because they're struggling now. So
I don't know, man. They're spending money. Have it over first. I'm sorry, Jess, but the church is so scandalous.
It really is.
I feel like it gets worse and worse every scandal pope segment. But I'm interested to see where this goes as far as relates to the show.
And then we're going to move on to the news and gossip segment, which is very short, but I wanted to give this a quick minute to talk about. The new Pope creator, Paolo Sorrentino, confirms the HBO drama will be getting a final season because it's a trilogy.
Wow.
So we're going to get another season. He didn't give any more information than that, so we don't know when it's coming, but because there's a couple years between these seasons,
yeah.
The young pope and the new pope. Yeah, because I have like a 2-year-old child and I didn't have a child back then, so
right?
It's been at least 2 years, so it might be another 3 years. I don't know.
Are you gonna get pregnant again when it comes back?
No, please no.
All right,
but anyways, so moving on from news and gossip, that's all I got for you guys, but it's pretty juicy because I cannot wait to see what happens next episode, which leads us into our prediction segment.
Predictions.
I'm so excited.
And let's talk about this too. You alluded to the fact that, okay, a third season, so to me, obviously, that's pointing to Lenny will be back,
yes.
Right? In that third season, I don't think it's much of a limb for me to go out and say that we will see him again this season. And if you watched, if you cheated and watched the previews like we did, you know, we don't want to spoil it for you, but there's evidence of that.
Yeah.
But this again, the show never fails to try to leave you on a you know, on a, what do you call it, a cliff.
Yeah.
Where you know, like Lenny stops breathing for a second and the flame goes out of the candle.
Totally.
But yeah, so there's a lot to guess there. Oh, and also, I think we might have another terrorist attack. I think we're overdue for one.
Oh, geez.
Something that's going to really impact what's going on in the church and maybe like whether they get favor or how it affects them politically.
Wow. Yeah. So it's so funny because HBO loves killing off like really lovable characters that are like big characters for shows. So last episode, I thought at the end when the nuns came running in and the like machine kind of went off or something that Lenny died. And then this episode when he like took the last sigh and then the candle went out, I'm like, oh great. He died again. Like, but I knew there was a third season coming. So, when I saw the previews, I was we've seen previews of Lenny waking up, but I just thought it was the preview from the first episode where he got up in kind of like that dream sequence. Mm-hmm. So I think he's going to wake up, and I think he's going to come back, and I'm so excited
to
see what happens.
It's the only way things can get set right, because things can't get any worse than they are now.
I know. So guess we'll have to see what happens next episode. So thanks so much for joining us, guys. Al, tell everybody where they can find you.
Everybody, your boy Al Grad. You can find me on Instagram at Al_Jamaica House Film. Brat.
And I'm Jesse Zanu. You can find me all over social media, and we will see you guys next week.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.